lot of things coming up. That's good. Hey, like I said last week, we started weighing you. We have a digital AI. We can weigh everybody as you're going out to start your fast. And so we're weighing you again. Good news. We've lost over 300 pounds in one. I'm kidding. Last week, they're like, I'm not coming back. I told everybody, we're going to weigh everybody on your way out of here, see how much we lose, how much weight we lose as a church. And I can see some of you came back. Great. Glad to know that. Hey, also, as Pastor Stephanie was saying, I want every person, if there's got to be something that's on your heart that you need for prayer, whether you believe God can do it or not, I'm asking you as a faith stepping out to build testimony with God. This is on my heart. This is what I would like people, my community, the body of Christ to start praying for. But at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to step out in really bold faith for the miraculous, for the things that you don't even know if God maybe possibly might be able to one day, maybe in the past he could, but I don't know about any more day, the type of prayer. So I'm asking you to get ready for that right there. Why? Because as Pastor Stephanie said, we're going to be praying for every prayer card here on the next two Tuesdays. Right now, I'm praying over a prayer card. Prayer card said, I'm praying for my son. He's caught up in drugs and alcohol, but I know he's got a calling of God on my life. So I'm praying with the mother that God will actually release the bonds and the bindings and the chains of alcohol, and not only alcohol and drugs, but identity issues. So this young man will step up and become all God's created him to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I got my sister. She knows who it is. We're here. You know how I found that card? She wrote it. She's got people praying for her son because she took a bold step and said, I need the Lord praying. I need people of the Lord praying for this. All right. 21 days of prayer. We are stepping into greater things. We have to prepare the soil of our hearts for greater things. We have to learn, and it's a learned process, learn to trust God for the greater things, for the miraculous, for the more, for the things that he can do that we may not understand how he does it. We are in our series. We kicked it off last week, and we will be talking about it for a total of 7 weeks, talking about lordship. Lordship has just been a burden on my heart since October, and I know this is something that the church has to really discover and understand of what lordship is. What lordship is, we talked about last week, over my time. He wants to be Lord over everything in your life. Your time, your ability to breathe in and out, your time on earth is a gift from God. It was not owed to you. You don't even deserve it. But because of his grace and his mercy, he gifted that to you, not to misuse, not to abuse, not to take consideration of, but to steward really well. And I asked you guys, what if the blessings on your life, the condition of the blessings on your life, are directly connected to how well you steward this gift that he has handed to you by grace? A lot to think about. Is he Lord over your time? If I opened your calendar, would it just scream lordship all over it? Or would it scream, Today we're talking about thoughts. What about my thoughts? Is he Lord over my thought life? Does he have lordship over what goes on around up in her? Does he have lordship over that? Does stuff just ruminate and fly around and it's not even paid attention to? And in fact, I may chase it all over the place like it's a wild rabbit. Or are those things brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ? That's what we're talking about today. This is another area that he desires to have lordship, not because he wants to keep you in bondage, because he actually wants to free you from the bondage that you're in. He wants to bless you into the future, into the more that he's created you for. But I want you to understand this as we go into this part of the story. I want you to understand this with the idea, the context of a field or a forest. A field or a forest. If you've ever bought property and it had a lot of trees on it, a lot of briar bushes, a lot of thorns. Around here, you got a lot of thorns, you got a lot of weeds in the ground, like rooted roots and all this other stuff. And then in a field, sometimes it's just, it's underdeveloped, underfertilized. It's not really, it needs tending to, it needs some care, it needs some tilling. If you go to some parts of our state and some parts of the country, you'll see these piles of rocks inside of a metal basket, a mesh basket. Well, they took those rocks out of the field so that they could better tend the field, plant the field, work the field, and they're getting them out of the way so that their equipment doesn't keep getting messed up. So I want you to think about this in context of where we're going. Why? Because it is God's heart that we take the field of our life and turn it into a fruitful garden. The garden of our soul should be tended to. In terms of our lives with God, the context of a garden is very important to Him, and it should be important to us as well. Here's why. Adam and Eve started in a garden. They were assigned to be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion in a garden. Adam and Eve were specifically exiled from a garden. Jesus would oftentimes go and pray where? In a garden. When Jesus was resurrected, where was he first known and first seen? In a garden. Who did they think that he was when he was there? A gardener. You see how important the context of a garden is for Jesus in our lives, in our soul, in our minds? Let me just not stop there. And he wants to help us to develop the garden of our soul so that we can be fruitful, multiply, and as a byproduct, have dominion over the earth. He wants to help us. So I've got to take this new piece of property with this land, this forest, or this field, and I've just got to find the best little small square, as big as it may be or as small as it may be, to start working that little part. This is how salvation is. You carry all your junk into salvation. You don't get completely transformed. You are still the baggage carrier of the past in salvation until you start to let go of the baggage. And so you don't start with a lush field, a lush garden. You start with a little square that God has given you stewardship over. Now just tend to that, and we'll grow from there. And that's our role at that point. But at some point, that square needs to grow. That garden has to expand. That garden has to begin to influence what is around it rather than being influenced by what's around it. You follow me? So think about in context of a garden. What do we have to do? There's many steps, but I'm going to make it simple because unless you want to be here for 3 hours, I can talk for 3 hours. Okay, it looks like y'all want to go to lunch. So, but first, you've got to plant your garden. You got to plant your garden. You got this little square. Ooh, that's a good little patch right there. Ooh, that right there is fertile ground. Ooh, that there's nothing in that little patch. Ooh, look at that. Sun hits it directly. I'm going to plant that garden. I'm going to plant that. That's going to be my garden right there. Again, this is your soul. This is your mind. This is what ruminates inside of you, what guides you, what sends you, what directs you, what influences you. One of the things in planting our garden is learning to surrender our minds to Christ's lordship. Isaiah 55:8-9, one of my favorite verses. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Oh, this is good news. So my thoughts are right here, down here. My ways are down here. His thoughts are up here. His ways are up here. And so if I really want to grow, and if I really want to steward well what he's been giving me up here and let this be stewarded in my mind and soul, then I've got to yield what is mine way down here to his what is a way up here. And in that process of yielding, all of a sudden, because I'm yielding to his thoughts and his ways, my ways begin to acclimate. Are you tracking with me? I want you to see it by the end of the day. In Luke 8:11, it's parabolic language, but Jesus is giving pictures to an agrarian culture. Athens, Texas, Henderson County is very much agriculture, agrarian. You understand. Somebody in your family had a garden at some point. Somebody, you know the concept. Jesus says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So I've got to plant my garden. I've got to learn how to put seed, good seed, the word of God, into the garden of my soul. I've got to learn how to begin to bring in and absorb the word of God into the garden of my life, the soul, my soul, my mind. I've got to learn how to experience the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So when my thoughts, because his ways, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and my ways, when my thoughts don't align or misalign with his thoughts, I've got to learn how to, what I'm thinking ain't right. Scripture says this. The word says this. I've got to learn how to prune out what doesn't belong in my garden so that I can sow in the fruitfulness, the fruit-bearing seed of his word into my garden. I got to retake out some old stuff. Nope, here's my thoughts. Nope, and here's his thoughts. I'm going to put his thought where my thought once was taking up residence. So I'm putting good seed into the soil. I'm taking every thought captive. If this doesn't align with him, that's not going to help me bear good fruit. That's not going to help the condition of my soul. Our thought life shapes our attitudes, our actions, and our relationship with God. So what you do on the outside reflects what's going on in the garden of your soul. And what's going on in the garden of your soul reflects what seed you are allowing to grow up in that garden. Therefore, your actions just follow. So your actions are really just a drone to what you allow to take residence up in here. So you behave unknowing. I don't know why I keep doing it. Well, I know because of the seed. The seed that is implanted is driving you, and because it hasn't been tilled, hasn't been taken care of and tended to, it hasn't been brought to obedience of Christ in that area, your actions reflect that. Your attitudes reflect that. How you act in certain situations, your attitudes in certain situations, your behaviors in certain situations, your relationship, the condition of the relationship with God reflects what seed is bearing root, taking root and bearing fruit in the garden of your soul. It is good. So surrendering our minds to Christ means intentionally aligning our thoughts with his truth. Before you can have dominion over anything, you've got to have dominion here. 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 I'm not doing the walk like even Egyptian thing. Which was my favorite song? I grew up in that area. Oops. Transformation does not come through determination. It comes by yielding to his word. Me thinking I can and thinking I can and thinking I can is good. However, it will never get you as far as just simply yielding to his word and saying, Lord, I think this, but your word says this. Instead of me trying to fight in aggression for it out of ego, it's yielding to it out of humility. Transformation happens when the seed of God's word gets planted into my soul, the garden of my soul, and all of a sudden, because it's being tended to, it starts to bear fruit, which brings about the transformation of the garden of my life. So I like to start my day asking God, because I know me, I've been spending a lot of time with me, guard my mind, guard my thoughts. Guard my thoughts. Let me be aware of what's running through that does not belong. And then guide my thoughts. Holy Spirit, guard my thoughts. Guide my thoughts. Guide them in the direction that you would have them go. That's aligned with your truths, your word. Guide them that direction. But start by guarding them from anything that should not be in. Any of the thorns, the thistles, and the weeds that are trying to creep up in the garden of my life. Guard them. And then I pray, Holy Spirit, renew my spirit. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Because even though I had a great day, I had a great week, I had a great month, I had a great year, I still need a little bit of ego check and humility to say, Lord, renew me, because your thoughts are even yet still higher than my thoughts. They're still higher than my thoughts. I cannot outthink you, Lord, so renew my mind so that I can be who you created me to be. It's a yielding process. So Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need my mind renewed because I need to know what is the acceptable, what is the good, and what is the perfect will of God. And I will only know the will of God for my life and my family's life and the people around me whom he's given me influence over and towards if I allow my mind to be renewed and transformed. So there's some shaping that has to take place. There's some changing. And so when I maintain a consistent life of devotion in God's word with a humble heart, this allows me to catch things that don't belong. Oh, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't even feel like it aligns with the word of God. It doesn't sound like that word. What's going on in my head right now? I know it. I'm catching it in my mind, but my soul is still a little bit, wants to do something different. But my spirit is over here celebrating the word. Remember the word. Remember what the Holy Spirit has told you. Remember what God's word says. And so I have to decide in that moment, am I going to subject my soul and my ways to his ways or continue in my ways? And this is where most of us have the most difficult times of our lives right there. That split second decision. And the more you start to focus into that gap right there, of that split second decision, that second becomes so intense that it will start to magnify and it will start to weigh on you and it will start to get really heavy. But it's also the glory and the presence of God trying to lean you towards his ways and out of your ways. So it helps us. And the word implanted in our heart helps us to identify and replace negative or ungodly thought patterns with scripture. Man, that's jacked up thinking. I don't know why I'm letting that stuff run around and I'm entertaining that stuff. It's jacked up thinking. Instead, I'm catching that and I'm like, no, here's what the word of the Lord said. Here's who he says I am. Here's what he has for me. Here's what we've talked about personally because I'm spending time. I got to catch some jacked up thinking in my head. I've got to take it captive. I got to remind that jacked up thinking that's still going on here, and I'm entertaining. And sometimes it's fun to entertain that jacked up thinking, right? It's fun to spend a little time there. Then all of a sudden you're like, it feels dark. This don't feel right. I need to bring that, Lord, I repent. Lord, please forgive me for allowing that to even take up residence. Lord, I don't want that. What do I need to do next? And then take the next step. There's a scripture to be revealed to the garden of your soul for every situation. For everything that you're going to go through, every area that God's calling you into, and everything you're currently going through right now, there is a scripture for it, a solution. There's a revelation inside of the book of the Holy Bible that is directly intended to be highlighted with your time, by the Holy Spirit, as you search it out for your situation so he can bring revelation. But it can't stop there. It has to get there, but unfortunately, that word sitting in this book only has potential until it starts to find its way in through revelation. It's just a bunch of potential. It's like you bought a bunch of good seed because spring's coming, but you left them in the package. And you can't just go plant the package in the ground. And so it only has potential here. What has to happen is it has to move from here, and during your time of seeking and the Holy Spirit lights up a word or a passage, it's like, there's something there that I didn't get. Let me read that again. A third, a 15th time, but for some reason I can't leave this part of my Bible. And then all of a sudden, boom, it hits you. Now that discovery becomes revelation. Which leads me, but out of obedience, to contemplation. I'm gonna mull over this thing a little bit. I'm gonna do like a cow does cud. You know, it has two stomachs. Takes it into one, chews on it, takes it into the stomach, then it regurgitates. It throws it back up into the next stomach. Or throws it back up into his mouth, he chews it again, then goes back into the second stomach. So I'm gonna chew on that revelation. I'm gonna let a little bit get in me. I didn't get all that. Let me chew on that a little bit more. And then I want it to saturate in me But it doesn't stop there. For it to really germinate, it has to come into a declaration. Lord, here's what's going on, but I know that you said that I'm more than a conqueror. I know that you said that I'm a son. I know that you say, if I will wait, the scripture says, if you will, that he who waits upon the Lord will find strength, will gather strength from the Lord. He who waits will be strengthened from the Lord and will mount up like eagle's wings. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. You start to declare those things because they've been revealed into you because they answer an issue. There's a solution to your problem embedded in the word. And because you're taking the seed of that word and putting it into the garden of your soul and your mind, and you're starting to germinate that thing, you're starting to tend to that thing. Now you're taking care of that thing, and now it's starting to do some work inside of you. And in whatever time it requires for that seed to grow, you are seeing life now through that seed that has been embedded into the garden of your soul because you're trusting the one who gave you revelation over it. You're continuing to declare it and you're continuing to contemplate it. You're continuing to see the current situations through the new lens of the revelation, and now you're waiting with joy for the Lord to do something transformational. Well, we can do a prayer call right now. For if I have anxiety, which I struggle with anxiety. Anybody else struggle with anxiety? Everybody else is lying. So some do lying, some is anxiety. That's good. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication. What, Lord, this is what your word said. Lord, I know you said this. Lord, I know this is true. My anxiety is over here, but you're saying this over here. Lord, I'm going to bring that under you. Supplication with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for what's bringing stress and anxiety and all this stuff in my life. Thank you for that. Let the thanking bring a cause, a foundation, a fertilization, a soil to be good soil. Let your requests be made known to God. I'm speaking back to him. And the peace of God. All of a sudden, I just get peace, which surpasses all, and I put your current, that's me, not your Bible, but your current understanding. Because your understanding, remember, is way down here. His understanding is way up here. And he's guided you and led you into something because he's got solutions to get you up there. But if without him and in and of yourself, you will always stay down here. So your understanding will never change to up here without prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and being steadfast. We'll get to that at the end. And then that stuff guards my heart and my mind. No problem when conflict comes. God's already got this. I know. It feels weird, like there's chaos all around, but for some reason I got this internal peace, and I can sense what's going to happen on the other side of this thing. This is the weirdest thing. That's the peace of the Lord guiding you to his perfect will through the chaos of life, but you're choosing to have your eyes focused on him rather than the things. So whatever you might be facing currently is understood by your level of experience with God. We need to build testimony with God. That's called testimony. Here's what he's done in the past for my life. Here's what he hasn't done. Most oftentimes we focus on what he hasn't done in my life yet. So your level of understanding is, here's what he hasn't done yet in my life, rather than here's what he should do and could do and will do. Your understanding, your educational understanding, and your place of faith. But God is wanting to meet you there, wanting to provide peace to you there, to give you inspiration, joy, and strength to get there while he's building testimony with you all along the journey to there. So we can get a good foundation for this by memorizing key Bible verses. We need to memorize, ruminate over a word, a verse. One that, especially when the Lord starts to give revelation and he quickens to your inner man, you're like, that just speaks to me. Well, great, because it's for you, for this season, for this time, maybe for your life, who knows? The one I gave you at first, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God used that to move me into ministry out of a lot of fear. He was giving me half of that verse from one people group and the rest of it from another people group, all within about a 3 to 5 minute span when neither one of them knew who the other one was, but it was a meeting about my future. That'll get your attention. What's going on here? Then you start to, how did they know? God knows. and he's got it all figured out. And he uses people to get you there. Here's a good benefit of that. Greater mental peace, clarity. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have mental peace? Clarity. Man, I think clearly. Like, my decisions are easy to be made. It's clear for me. You can't see that? Like, alignment with God's will. I know God's will. And leading to stronger spiritual growth. And that none of us are where we need to be. We all need to grow. I need to grow. Number two is water your garden. So I got to water that thing. It doesn't water itself. I got to cultivate consistent and focused devotion time. I got to water that garden. I got to bring it around. I'm going to explain to you watering the garden in just a minute. But you got to water. Can't just put seed in there and dry ground. You ever seen the Death Valley? When it rained one time, it flourished with all colors of flowers. You got to water that seed. Allie and I, we have two little kids. One's 5, about to be 6. One's 8, about to be 9. And in the morning, we get up early. We have our devotion time. Right now, we're reading the 21 Days of Prayer, Greater Things, YouVersion app video link. At 6 a.m., we get the video. We watch that together. My kids know, unless there's an emergency or there needs to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the dinner table, they don't come in our room. Doors open. They start coming in there. Nope. They start talking their way in. Nope. Food's in there. Y'all go in there. Go to the living room. Go to your bedroom. Go to the kitchen. You can have all that house. Not here. 6:45, game changes. Or they're coming down the hallway, and you can hear it. You can hear their video that they're watching. Turn that off. Don't come in here with that. Don't bring that noise in here. The presence of God is moving in that room. Moves differently at night, but the presence of God is moving. I'm sorry, I had to. Hey, it's a celebration unto the Lord in marriage. He talks about it all through Scripture. But they will monopolize your time. They will take advantage of it. And all of a sudden, you sat there 3 hours early and got no time with the Lord because these kids keep coming in and out. And some parents need to set some boundaries for their kids. Because your kids need you to spend time with the Lord to hear from your father so that you can be a good mother, good father to them, and you can father and mother them and lead them and lead your home first, because you set boundaries to make sure you're intentionally spending time with your Heavenly Father. Man, we got 5 people that agree. But you have to protect what's important. Let me give you an Old Testament prophetic word, and this is about grace, salvation. We're talking about watering your garden. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. With a water hose, please. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, putting good seed in, taking bad seed out, watering the good seed with a good conscience. I don't carry guilt, shame, anxiety, and worry in that sense of what I've done. I don't have to. I know what I've done. He knows what I've done. I don't mind telling you what I did. It's done. From an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's good news. John 7:37, Jesus says on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, you need to be watered. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Water that seed. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You've been watered. You planted that good seed. You remove the weeds and the thorns and the thistles. You're keeping an eye on your garden. You're watering what is good and what is to be lush. And he's saying now, because you've done so well in stewarding what has been given to you, not only will it be saturated well for good germination, but inside of you, there will be an overflow, not just for you, but from you, through you, for others around you. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I tilled my garden well. I tended my garden well. I took care of. I made sure that the weeds from over there that don't belong don't creep up like a bamboo shoot up into my garden. I'm on the lookout. Taking every one of those thoughts captive, the obedience of Christ. This he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. But he has been given because Jesus is now gone and you can receive the Holy Spirit so that he can lead you and guide you into all truth. That's good news. And he can remind you, recall to you the word of God so he can protect you and put a shield over you so that you can make wise decisions. When that split second hits, you know which way to go because here's what the Holy Spirit is reminding you from and of from his word. Jesus was not yet glorified, but he is now. 1 Kings 8:61. So let your heart be somewhat devoted to the Lord. Kind of when you want to, if it really feels good, devoted to the Lord. No, fully devoted to the Lord our God, as it is this day to walk in. I got to walk in it. You just keep walking in. It means my life, my actions are showing the seed of what's in my soil, of my garden. So I'm walking in it. I'm keeping it, meaning I'm tending to it. I'm holding on to it. And I'm getting rid of the things that do not belong. Nope, that's not going to be good for my soul. Nope, that's not going to be good for my mind. Nope, that's not going to bear good fruit. Lord, here's your way. But by faith, even though as uncomfortable as it may be, and it most likely is, I'm going to apply your truth of your word instead of my ways. Daily time with God is essential for nurturing our thought life. This is where we receive wisdom. It's where we receive strength. It's a direction to steward our minds well. I need the direction. I need that wisdom. So we have to set aside specific, distraction-free time daily with God. Mornings often frame my day well. I enjoy the mornings. I'm refreshed. Some people are night people. That's cool. Y'all are weird, but that's good. Jump into the 21 days of prayer of the devotional. Find a devotional. Find a good Bible that you can understand and read. Find something. Find a podcast that's talking about biblical matters and biblical principles, something that's true. Something that's right. Whatever it is, just stay focused and intentional. And we never, ever, ever want to ask you to do something without giving you coaching and training or teaching for that. That's why we have the 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's why we have this. That's why we're encouraging you continuously to be a part of this 21 days of prayer. That's why I'm asking you during this 21 days of prayer to fill out the miraculous for your life, for your family, for your loved one. Fill it out. See what God can do. And while implementing these spiritual practices into your life, it's also important to add time for prayer. Don't just check the box and say, yep, I did that. Add time for prayer. Add time for the reflection. Let me think about that. Let me think about what was going on, what God was saying. Let me just ponder that in my heart a little bit. Add prayer and reflection. It helps to get the root of what has been germinated down into the depths of your soul, down into the depths of the soil. Because what comes up the tree of your life will only reveal the depths of the root of your spiritual life. So this is where I like to begin. I'll start in my word, in the word. May read a Bible devotion. Starts to inspire me. I'm asking the Lord, I'm trusting the Lord that he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, or a light to my feet and a lamp unto my path, that he's guiding me. So Lord, you must have guided me to this devotional for some reason. What is it that you want me to see in this devotional? And I wait for him to bring revelation for my contemplation and prayer. And then I take those things and I start to reflect on them in my journal. I don't do this every day. I try to keep a good habit so that in 5 years I can go back and I can see what I was praying over and praying for, what the mountain of my life was that he made a molehill. And it starts to give me courage and boldness, and he starts to show me there's far greater things that he has for me. So I can go back. But also, let me just tell you, some of you think like, I got it, that was good. You had emotional experience. But when you start to take it in here and put it in here, all of a sudden he says, oh, you want to bear some good fruit? Let me give you more now that you're starting to put this thing to action. And then for leaders, this is a leadership. This is a, if you're a business owner or whatever, a leader, CEO, or a manager of managers, or you're somebody who's tired of life being the way it is. I take it and I take it into my productivity journal, my goals, my thoughts, the things that I see God for this, doing for this church, for my small business, the small businesses ahead, the other campuses ahead. I start taking all of that heart because I know God is in the room and I know he's speaking to me. And then I start writing those things in. I start filling out the vision of what of those different lanes for my family, for my finances. I start filling out the vision of whatever he gives me for any of those lanes so that I can run forward with the vision. That's my process. And what happens? We gain a deeper connection with God, greater confidence in decision-making. My decisions are already made because they came out of my prayer time with the Lord. I don't have to wonder, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do that? My no has been decided and my yes gets louder, and I can start to see the direction of my life. And if I'm starting to do things that I shouldn't be doing, then it helps me also to build some kind of job description so I can get somebody else, I can hire somebody else to do those things, because those things, continue to do those things, are going to create a cycle for me. So I've got to learn how to say no to those things, but somebody needs to do those things so I can do what's most important. You'll understand that if you understand that. Then I got to weed that garden. Ooh, I got to be on the lookout for those weeds trying to creep up in my garden. I got to be watching. Like a rooster in a pen. I got to be monitoring that thing because my garden is growing. And so there's expansion. The influence is starting to build. And there's also elements starting to come into that garden. So I've got to be on lookout for anything that doesn't look like God anymore, doesn't sound like God, doesn't have the thoughts of God and the ways of God. So I've got to be quick to prune. I've got to be quick to address. I've got those thorns and thistles. Man, if you've ever found some property in those little those thorn bushes, those briars, man, you walk through that, scrapped up, they will get you. They don't look intimidating until you walk through them with shorts. So I'm like, man, I got to start guiding this mind. Finally, brothers what and sisters, whatever's true, is this true? Is this stuff that's going into my head, is that true? Is that really true? Whatever is noble. Is this, if I do that, is it going to be noble? Is this going to honor others and honor me and honor the environment? Is this honor? Is it noble? Does it have nobility attached to it? Whatever is right, is it right if I do this? I got to really work that out with God. And whatever is pure, is this pure? Is this lovely? Is it admirable if I do that? Would I want somebody doing that to me? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, is this praiseworthy? Are people going to say, thank you so much for doing that? That was excellent. Now I got to work that stuff out because that's what God calls good soil. And so I have to work that out right here. And a healthy thought life requires vigilance. Vigilance. You got to be ruthless on watching that field. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Notice it doesn't say anything that sounds like being on a couch. Stand, watch, be brave, be strong. Isaiah 7:9, stand firm. Because if you do not stand firm in your faith, you'll be on that couch. And you'll wonder why life is rolling me over nonstop. Feel like I got no say in my life. Then stand up. Stand firm. Let the word of God, not an ego, but having been yielded to the word of God and it growing up inside of you, you can't help but to stand strong. 1 Corinthians 15:5-58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. You know what's immovable? Someone who knows who they are in Christ, what Christ's word says, what the Holy Spirit is doing in their life, has vision for the future, has decided to start weeding and pruning and getting rid of all the stuff in their life. They can stand firm, not in pride and ego and arrogance, but in confidence that the Lord's doing it anyway. All I need to do is get me out of the way so he can do what he wants to do within me. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You can go up to my children today, my little 6-year, 5-year-old, my 8-year-old, and you can say, be strong and they'll say, courageous. Courageous starts with a T in my son's world. Be strong and courageous. I'm teaching them from that young to be strong and courageous. No matter what's happening, stand firm. Be strong and courageous. I'm asking them, who does God say they are after school whenever they had a rough day, when something happened? I remind them what the Word of God says and ask them, if they did something in error, what would you do next? What would happen next time? Sometimes every week, my son at some point, I'm just, hey, you know what? We're doing something. Can't get it done right there. Nathan, we'll just figure it out later. Daddy? No, we'll do it right now. Because Harrington's never give up. He checks me on it. And I remind him, hey, buddy, you got to keep going. Harrington's, we never give up. And some of you have to declare that, because in the past it's felt like family's given up. Parents have given up. They just folded over. They just rolled over. They wouldn't stand firm. Life is the way it is, because no one would stand up. And God is saying, it's time to stand up. And my son is saying, never give up. But we have a culture of giving up. We have a culture of laying down. We have a culture of setting out. We have a culture. We got to break that culture, because that is not what is in the garden of the Lord. So I understand that I will gain freedom from mental clutter. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to be distracted about where it is. I know where I'm going and what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. A mind centered on what honors God, enabling you to experience His peace. And that's what we need. We need a body of Christ that's walking in His peace. Let me end right here. First Kings, I just always read this as a declaration from my Father, God the Father, to me. And it says, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Could you imagine Jesus saying, you know what? I'm about to go to the Father. I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, so you're not going to be alone. You got each other. I'm going the way. But you be strong. You show yourself a man. You show yourself a woman. What a man of God looks like, what a woman of God is, and who she really is, and who he really is. And keep the charge of the Lord your God. No matter what's happening, you keep the charge. You keep the seed that is bearing fruit as a truth, and the only truth for your life. You keep the charge of the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways. I got to walk this thing out. To keep his statutes, I got to keep them. I got to tend to them. His commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. Meaning, I've got to understand what his testimonies, what has happened. I got to remind myself, Lord, here's what we've been through. Here's what you said. Here's the situation. I know you can do it again. And I've got to learn to hold him at that truth, because I found the truth of his word. And my Father and your Father in heaven has never been a liar, and he never will be a liar. And here's why. Here's what he wants to do. Here's why he's saying keep this, not so he can keep you in bondage, but actually so he can free you. As it is written in the law of the Lord, the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, because God is guiding your footsteps. The seed is in the soil of your garden. You're watering that thing. You're tending that thing. You're not allowing anything that should not be taking up place and take up space to take up space. You're picking it. You're weeding it. You're getting out of the way. You're bringing it into obedience of Christ. And now it just happens to be you're flourishing no matter what you do. It seems like everything you touch, you're prospering. God is doing something in your life. People are benefiting from you. People are able to come to the fruit of your tree, of your life, and they are able to pick from it and get nourishment from it. When it's dangerous, they're able to hide under you because you're covering them. You're protecting them from shade. When it's hailing outside, all hail can break loose, but you are as strong as an oak, and they can come and stand right beside you and feel safe. So I'm asking you, come on, let's stand up. Stand up, stand firm. And remind each other, hey, whatever your last names are, we don't give up. We don't give up. God's call you to it. He will give you every solution to get through it and to get to the other side, but there's something that has to transform on the inside. That means some seeds got to go out and some seeds got to come in. And that's not always easy. So I want you to consider all of those things for the greater things. I'm going to ask you during the time of worship or after to take this card, write that bold prayer, as Cassandra was saying, that thing that is dangerous prayer, it's courageous prayer, it's this is insane if this happens prayer, and allow God some space to work on your behalf. So pray with me. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you prompt the passions and the desires and the pains and the hurts, whatever it is that people are carrying in this room right now, that you give them the courage to at least write down this courageous, this bold, this dangerous, this ridiculous prayer so that they can begin the process of discovery. Lord, I pray that you move them into your written word so that they can find the solution and bury the seed where the wrong seed once was of doubt and shame or guilt or pain or hurt or sickness or disease or financial loss or marriage loss or relationship brokenness or leadership loss, whatever the loss is, that they find the solution in your word. Let it bear root. Let it give fruit. And Father, let them begin to see the testimony of real day, present day, of what you're doing in their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a good amen? Somebody. Amen. Come on.